Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Hello, hello.
Yo, yo, yo.
So, it's January.
Yes.
It's a 3-day weekend. Shout out to Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.
Ooh. For King, celebrate. Sing, sing, celebrate.
Okay. Sure. Alan's always going to try to break in a song in some capacity, but we are happy to be here. It is 2024. For real, for real. We are in this thing. We're damn near through this thing. I feel like it might as well be through. Summer. The way that we're moving through January, like it was just Thanksgiving. Now we're halfway through January.
Yeah. Well, I will say this. 2024 is like literally kicking with 2 feet. Like, I don't know what's going on. Like, I feel like I'm on a roller coaster right now. And
really?
It's just going down. Like,
No. What did that mean? Well, that means that it can then only go up.
Ooh,
that's exactly what that means.
Right.
How you start is not about to be how you finish.
You see what I'm saying?
Okay. I am, for being honest. Okay. Mm-hmm. We're sharing.
Okay.
I am in the thick of wedding planning.
Oh, Lord. So update. So when, where, like, are you doing big? You going small? Summer, winter? Like, give us some general specs.
Right. So for those who've been listening to the podcast for a long time, no, I'd never put all that information out there. I am getting married to a man.
Which listeners are invited?
I will say this. It's got a trendy name now, but this was the plan before I ever knew it had a trendy name. Mm-hmm. I am having what is called a micro wedding.
Micro wedding. Ooh.
Yeah. I originally wanted to elope. I wanted to elope, and I think we came to a happy medium on that.
Well, I just want you to know I am full sized, so yeah, I plan on being there.
So. Yeah, do you?
I don't know if I need to be tiny to do this, but
you
gotta figure that out. Okay,
be tiny.
Go on.
But yeah, we're having a micro wedding. So. Like the number was originally 10 and 10, and we've increased it to 15 and 15, and that's it.
So 30 people.
Yeah.
I feel like you're, as much as you want it small, I feel like you are going to try to steal some of his 15.
No, I'm not going to try to steal any of his. It is what it is. Like, it is, honestly, it would have been 10 and 10, but he's got like a lot of siblings. So.
Yeah.
That's what pushed it to 15 to 15.
Are y'all doing a destination or y'all doing it stateside?
Stateside, no destination. Here's the other thing. Like, we are involved in and attending massive weddings this year.
Mm.
Like, his best friend is...
Are they mostly first weddings or second weddings?
Each one is a mix. Each one is somebody's first and somebody's second.
You
I never even
I'm
thought
saying?
About that.
Yeah, you're at that age, my girl.
Oh,
ain't too many first weddings out this joint. Not pure first weddings.
Let me tell you what my mom said, though. This is why. This is why you don't even need to be having weddings. Here she go. You plan on wearing white?
Oh Lord, no, she did.
I was like, I'm sorry.
No, she did. Mom didn't do you like that.
You know you can't wear white, right?
Oh,
I was like, because I've been married before, because I'm not a virgin. Like, which one is it?
Both.
I was like, yo, I'm wearing white. He was like, nah, you not wearing white.
That's old school.
Here she go. What about
she
champagne?
She wants you to wear taupe?
She said, what about champagne? Like,
but hold on, did you wear white at your first wedding?
No, and that's what I said. I wore pink. Mm. Pink.
Yeah.
So I was like, I didn't wear white before. She was like, that's not the point. Like, hilarious.
I love your mom. Big shout out to mama.
So yeah, you're right. It's not a lot of first weddings out here, but the two weddings that we are like participating in are massive.
Yeah.
Like, not like, oh, y'all had a big wedding. Like, no. Massive. And so like one of the weddings, and this is my fiance's best friend, like it's a destination wedding, but there's a destination meet and greet for the wedding party.
Mm-hmm.
All the destinations are out of the country.
Okay. Hey.
They live up the street from us.
I love that. That's
there's
wonderful.
A destination meet and greet.
Mm-hmm. I'm with it.
In May. Mm-hmm. Then there's a engagement party.
What are the destinations involved?
Well, I can't tell you all that. I'm just know they're like all so the
country?
So the meet and greet is an island. No, let me hold. The meet and greet is a cruise.
In Ireland, you said?
No, I said an island.
Oh.
Yeah, the meet and greet is the meet and greet is a cruise.
Okay.
So the wedding party all has to be on this cruise. Mm. That's in
May.
That's
interesting.
Okay.
Then you don't strike me as a cruise type of person, Tiffany.
I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm not. And everybody knows that about me. This will be my first cruise and I'm being forced into it.
Yeah. I can see that.
Then there's an engagement party in August.
Now, cruises are wild fun. I will tell you that. They are fun.
Then mm-hmm. there's an engagement party in August. That's the only thing that's local. Then there is like the bride and the groom have like a getaway that's not the bachelor or bachelorette.
Okay.
So they have their bridal tea that's in another place. He has his men's thing that's in another place.
Okay.
That's in September.
Mm-hmm.
Then in October are the actual bachelorette and bachelor parties, which are also destinations out of the country.
This marriage better work out. That's all I'm saying. This is a
and
significant
And then the wedding
investment.
Is in October, out of the country.
Now I can see why you chose a micro dose of wedding. I would definitely be micro-sizing myself as well. So
I was like, this, participating in their wedding might cost more than our actual wedding.
Lord, that's crazy. crazy.
Yeah,
well, I know you're talking about weddings and beautiful things. I had like a really sad start to the year, yo.
Yeah, let's talk about it.
Yeah, one of my, and today's show, it's really triumph over tragedy. You know, I experienced just in my friend circle, a tragedy that we were trying to come up with a topic for today. And I just kept coming back to this. And I know we've talked about some of these topics before, but it just hit home a little different this time. So one of my friends just died. Like, this is one of my homegirls, like literally, like I've known her since the seventh grade. She was just literally like one of the sweetest women ever, like from jump, like from seventh grade through today, one of the top sweetest, always smiling, always sweet. We were pretty cool because, you know, in my town, like if you got good grades or if you quote unquote talked white, you got picked on.
And first of all, in our town, we grew up in the same town, our town.
Okay. It's still, this is my experience is that.
I got you.
Because I don't know if you caught that. Like I caught hell for being nerdy, for being acting white, all that. So like me and this girl were in that group, like of black kids who got picked on. And so we got to be cool. And she went on to go to an Ivy League school and she got married. She had a child and then they got divorced. Her husband actually got into a really bad medical condition. Like he had an accident or something. And like ultimately their marriage fell apart. And so she's raising her son, and her son, beautiful young man, like 10 years old. And it was crazy. I had not seen my homegirl in years. I was at the fireworks celebration in our town, I guess I should say, 4th of July in 2023. Yes. And she comes up to me, gives me the biggest hug. And I'm like, yo, like we shared, I was eating some jerk chicken from one of the stands. I'm like, yo, you want some jerk chicken? Like we had a great time. I was like, yo, you should come by the crib. You should meet my kids, my wife, the whole thing. And so in August, we all hung out. Her mom came, like everything was beautiful.
And that's August 2023.
Yeah, like literally months ago.
Gotcha.
And then in December, she made a post on Christmas Day. Yo, I'm about to, we're up early. We're going skiing. We're out in Colorado. And we're so excited. On December 30th, I get word that she had suffered a brain aneurysm. Followed by three heart attacks. And by like the first week of New Year's, they're like, yo, we're trying to figure out if there's brain activity.
Oh my gosh.
Then it's like, there is no brain activity. And we're trying to figure out how to harvest the organs.
Jesus.
And it like, just I'm that like, fast. So quick. Like I just saw her. I'm just getting the news of she's in the hospital. And now they're talking about harvesting organs. And when they harvest organs, like it's a beautiful, sweet thing. I didn't go for it, but they do this beautiful walk where they, all the nurses and doctors line up in the hallway and they literally march the body through the halls and everyone's clapping and celebrating the life that's being created through the life that's ending.
Jesus.
And so they did that walk of pride. I forget what they call it, but it's this beautiful walk. And then it was done. And now the family's figuring out what happens to the child because the ex-husband is not in a condition to care for the child. Thankfully, they're siblings.
How old is the child?
He's like 10 years old, 9 years old. The grandparents are, you know, they're fighting their own health conditions. Thankfully, there's siblings involved. And, you know, she had already had a conversation with siblings as to who would take the child. I don't know how much of it was in writing. The funny thing about this, I don't know anything about her preparations.
Right.
But it just made me think like, yo, I got to tell all my friends and family and people I care about, like, yo, we got to get ready. We got to get our stuff, especially if you're a parent, even if you're not a parent, but especially if you're a parent, we got to get these things together. Because the one thing that, you know, just caught me off guard, like my homegirl went to an Ivy League school. Like she grew up in a great town, like good parents, her parents were successful, but like they're doing a GoFundMe for the family. And like no shade to somebody doing a GoFundMe in a time of need. But like, I don't know if that is the last memory that she wanted to create. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I just want to talk about it. I want to talk about how we can be prepared to be triumphant over tragedy today.
Yeah. And I know you mentioned like we've done a variety of different shows. I think that like hit on this topic a little bit or from a variety of different perspectives. But I think this is just one holistic show. Right. Like, yeah. Because you started your year in tragedy. We know that like I dealt with tragedy through last year. And honestly, this is just our reality. Right. It is our reality that people are dealing with tragedy. I know it's January 1st and everybody's in their new resolutions and new year, new you. But we also are living life and things are happening. Tragedy happens. It doesn't care if this is your new year. It doesn't care if it's your Christmas. It doesn't care if it's your birthday. And because we're at a time where when life happens, we have to take care of it. We're big boys and big girls now. And yeah. So like we're responsible for it. We got to talk about it.
Yeah. So let's go through some stats. We always start our shows with stats.
100%.
What are the ways that folks are out here dying? Heart disease. These are the top 10. Heart disease, cancer, unintended injuries. These injuries include poisoning, which I actually didn't realize, but poisoning is like one of the top accidental death causes.
Unintentional poisoning.
Who knows? Then motor vehicle accidents and then falls. That's most of your unintentional injuries. COVID-19 is number 4 on the list. Stroke.
Respiratory disease, Alzheimer's, diabetes, kidney disease, and chronic liver disease are like neck and neck.
Mm-hmm.
right? Yeah, so those are 2022. So that fairly recent leading underlying causes of death, heart disease, cancer, unintentional injury, COVID-19, stroke, chronic lower respiratory disease, Alzheimer's, diabetes, kidney disease, and chronic liver disease.
Yeah. And on average in the U.S., our life expectancy is dropping.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think a lot of people, a lot of people think like that it's growing, but it's not, right? Like, yes, we have more access to medicine and medical devices, but we also have more access to poor food, poor mm-hmm. environmental circumstances, more stress, more vices, poor health, like just not taking care of yourself, not exercising, not walking, being extremely stagnant and stationary. So yeah, all of these factors have an impact. And yeah, our life expectancy is declining. In 2021, stats for overall life expectancy across all racial and ethnic groups, so this isn't a black or a white thing, is 76 years old.
Which doesn't seem right. That seems low.
My dad passed at 77. You know, and he passed from cancer, which is the number two cause of death. And it wasn't his first bout of cancer. It was essentially his third. Mm-hmm. And he got cancer the first time, I think like 20 years ago. And then it came back probably like 8 years ago or seven mm-hmm. years ago. And, you know, every time he was in remission. And one thing about my father, he stayed at the doctor's. Like, he wasn't one of these people who was like missing doctor's appointments. He went to all his doctor's yeah. appointments. He was always booking. And so then the last time it just came and they said it's going to be super aggressive this time.
Mm. Lord. Yeah, my homegirl was 46 years old.
Jeez.
Like, so these are averages, right? So if they say the average is 76, that means that there's half the people are going to die before 76. Half are going to die over 76.
Now, the number that we gave was across all racial and ethnic groups. So if we break it down, so the average life expectancy for Black people is under 71 years. So it's a little bit over 70 years. For white people, it's 76 and a half. So they're over the average. And then for Hispanic people, for Latinx, it's almost 78 years old.
We got to figure out why.
But listen, because I don't want to speculate. I don't want to stereotype. But I will say if I was generalizing, bear with me, y'all. Y'all know my heart. I feel like Hispanic people move their bodies more. Like, they have more labor intensive jobs. And so for that, like, they don't get stagnant, right? Like, they're not just holding on to a ton of weight because they're doing more labor intensive roles. Not all of them, for sure.
I think that's very racist what you said, but okay.
You think so? I'm not saying they're out picking fruit.
I thought it was arroz con gondules or arroz con pollo.
I wasn't finished. I also feel like the Hispanic population, they cook more of their own food.
Okay.
Like,
all right. Now
they are eating more at home. They're eating more local or foods that are familiar to their culture specifically. And I think that all has an impact.
Yeah.
Just to your first point,
like, there was a long time ago where Black folks had a lot of the jobs that had you being active. And I don't think our life expectancy was good. You know what I'm saying? So that's what I'm saying. Like, I think it's got to be other stuff.
Yeah, no. I was going to say, I think there's also a factor that, like, I don't know. I think when I see Hispanic families, like, a lot of the generations live or stay together, like, they make sure they have close proximity to one another. And I just think that aspect of ongoing support and community. I was actually watching a video today about a farmer. He's a Black farmer, young Black farmer. Mm-hmm. And funny enough, it's not funny, but in his 20s, he had a cancer scare. And so he was like, since I don't have a lot of time to live, I'm going to move on a farm and I'm going to, you know, I'm just going to farm until I die. And I'm going to grow my own food or whatever. And that was essentially 20 years ago. And life has been, you know, good for him or whatever. But he was saying how so many people want to get into farming for all the right reasons. It's probably even what we're talking about right now. He's like, the number one thing that people don't consider is moving away from their family members and their support system. and you go out to find this arbitrary land and start this farm, he was like, but one of the number one impacts is being away from your family and support system has an impact on your stress levels and on your overall health and well-being. And so he was like, it's something to think about. And that's what I think about in this regard. I think Hispanic families, when I see them, the grandma's there, the aunts are there, the uncles are there, all the kids are there. And you just have ongoing support where you might not be taking on so much by yourself all the time.
Yeah, I'll take that. But at the same time, we got Native Americans at 65 years. So they're all
Asians
together
are
too.
At 83 and a half years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So what I hear is there's something to learn from every culture and what we should or should not be doing to be healthy and extend our life.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody has it all right. Nobody has it all wrong. So we're going to keep talking about triumph over tragedy. We're going to talk through some things that we want you to think about and get under control. So stick with us. I'm Tiffany Hawkins.
I'm Alan Boomer.
And we're the Momentum Advisors.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
So we are back.
Yes.
We're talking about triumph over tragedy.
Mm-hmm.
And even though this show today may seem heavy, and we're going to try for it not to be, but it is truthful. Even though this show may feel heavy, every show for us is always about triumph. We're never going to leave an episode where it's just like, sucks for you. Hope you get your together. Like, we always find triumph in everything. And that is what we're always bringing to every episode.
Yeah. So one of the ways that people pay for funerals or just make arrangements for their dependents after they're gone is through life insurance. It's a major way, but not the only way, of having triumph over tragedy. And, you know, again, if you don't want to be in a position where there needs to be a GoFundMe, when I say needs to be, I mean, like, there may, maybe you want to do one, but you don't want to be in a situation where you need to have one, then life insurance is one of those ways.
So I will tell you, I don't even know how that works, right? So when my father passed, before he passed, you know, my father had been sick for a while, and he had some debts that would not have gone away in his passing. And so we sold all the life insurance. We sold off all his life insurance while he was still alive to pay down some of his debts so that they would not be our responsibility post-mortem. So I don't even know, like, and then we just paid for the funeral outright. I don't even know, like, how quickly does the life insurance check arrive? Does it arrive early enough for, you know, to pay for the funeral? I will tell you, I learned, and we'll probably talk about this a little bit more, that you don't have to pay for the funeral immediately. Like, they'll still put a funeral together, and then you get time to pay for it.
Yeah, we'll say life insurance can take anywhere from 2 weeks to 2 months to pay out.
That's so, like, my point, exactly.
Is one of the ways, should not be the only way, but we should get some stats on life insurance. I think there's a lot of folks that don't have enough insurance. A quarter of Americans would suffer a financial hardship within 30 days if there was the unexpected death of the primary wage earner in their household.
30 days. So if your spouse who provides income, even honestly, probably even if they're not the primary income provider, y'all just might have a two income household and both incomes matter.
Mm-hmm.
But if one of them passes away, a lot of people, one quarter of Americans, would suffer within 30 days. Also, less than 2 in 5 single Americans owns life insurance, compared to more than half of married people. Now, I will say this, like, that's advice that we give often. If you don't have anybody depending on you.
But hold on. It didn't say single with no kids. It just says single. How many single Americans have kids?
That's true.
So less than 40% of single people have life insurance.
Whether they have kids or not.
Word. That's bad.
That's bad.
That's bad. 102 million Americans are uninsured or underinsured. Nearly 20% of Americans have neither insurance at their jobs or their own individual policy. So 20% have no insurance, no kind of way.
But among the Americans who don't have life insurance, so among this 102 million who are uninsured or underinsured, 60% of them understand that they actually need coverage. So it's not like I don't have insurance because I don't need it. Like, I don't have insurance and I know I need coverage.
Mm-hmm.
Men are more likely to be insured than women in America, right? So at 58%, 58% of men are insured versus 47% of women, respectively.
But what's crazy, there are more women in the workforce than men.
That's a whole show within itself.
I'm saying there's more women in the workforce, but they are most likely then to be underinsured.
Yeah, or uninsured.
Word.
25% of adults over the age of 77 don't have life insurance.
And I'm okay with that if they also have assets. I'm good with that.
I'm okay with that if they don't have assets in some circumstances. And what I mean by that, like, was my father. We said, like, listen, we don't need the money, right? Like, we'd rather just forfeit our life insurance to pay off some of these debts. One, you don't need to be paying insurance premiums anymore. And let's just pay off your debt. So I think there are circumstances for that. If your parents are retired and living on limited income, and they're still paying life insurance premiums, and you're 52 years old, like, you know, let them, free them. Yeah. Free them of that. So sometimes it does make sense.
1 in 3 men only have life insurance through their job, so 33%. And for 20% of women, same thing. And the thing about life insurance through your job, bro, it is not enough. Like, they might cover 3 times your salary, maybe 5 if you're lucky, but most people who need insurance need anywhere from 10 to 30 times their pay
Correct.
In life insurance. So I make 100K, I'm going to need at least $1 million of insurance coverage, but I might actually need something like $3 million in insurance coverage.
Mm-hmm. Here's a way to think about it. We've talked about this all the time. You will need your salary times however many years you want to support your household. Your household is used to your salary, right? So you want to be able to give them that for however many years you plan on continuing to support them. So if you've got a 3-year-old and you want to support them through college, if you have a, you know, 17-year-old and you want to support them through getting a first house, if you just have a wife, but you want to make sure the house is paid off, so that she doesn't have to worry about covering that mortgage.
Yeah.
Also, the very, very big point around employer-provided insurance is if you no longer have that job, you
Guess
are
what?
Not guaranteed to that insurance.
Mm-hmm.
My father had to retire before he passed. Why? Because he was in the hospital and couldn't go to work.
Yeah. So that means
insurance,
even if he had coverage, it's gone.
Exactly.
Right,
and for a lot of us, you don't know how you're going to pass. It might not be in an instant, in a blink of an eye. You may get sick and your job is going to be like, well, they ain't showing up to work. So you got to go.
Yeah.
And therefore, all that insurance that you've paid into, even though you're still underinsured, won't even apply.
The average life insurance payout to beneficiaries, $189,000. So let me break that down for a second. Let's say you've got a 10-year-old kid at home and all you had is $190,000 in life insurance. And let's say you were making $100,000 a year. That money's going to last like 2 or 3 years. And by the way, there's no money for college in that. if they need that money to live, to pay for the rent, the mortgage, there's not going to be any money left for the college. So even though that number might seem like a lot, that's not enough. The other thing I'd point out is that a lot of people, 30% of people, think that life insurance is only for burial and final expenses.
Not at all.
In fact, we just said, like, it might take you 60 days before you get the money.
Right.
How can it only be for burial expenses?
You know they're not going to hold the body that long.
You're going to be shriveled up. Like,
no one wants that, right? No one wants that at all.
Yeah. So the final stat we'll give, I know we're statting y'all to death. 60% of people think that life insurance is just too expensive, and that's the number one reason why they're not buying it.
Wildin', right? And so we will just give some very, very quick examples. I got life insurance when I was 36. I was single with no kids at the time. I still got life insurance at age 36. I got $1 million term policy, $76 a month.
Mm-hmm. Man, y'all are healthy.
Now y'all are at the bar buying drinks, going on dates, doing the emotional. I have $76 mm-hmm. a month. And that was at age 36. You know, oftentimes we want you to get insurance a lot earlier. I am now going to have to explore insurance. Now that I'm getting married, I will have to explore insurance at my big old age of 41.
So I'll tell you all the times that I went out to buy life insurance, and I'll tell you how much it costs every time. So first time I bought life insurance is when I got married. Okay. I just bought a house and our mortgage balance was about $150,000, $160,000. So I went out and bought a $250,000 policy because I was like, look, I know I got covers through my job, but in addition, I want to make sure my wife could pay off the mortgage and have a little change on the side to last her a couple years of grief until she got back into the workforce. When I was 25, buying a $250,000 policy, my insurance cost about $150 for the entire year.
Jeez.
For a $250,000 policy. That means if
That's
I bought $1 million policy, it would have been $600 for the whole year, or about $50 per month. The younger you are, the healthier you are, the cheaper it's going to be. But we'll give you some other numbers on how much it costs and I bought only 10 years of policy for that. But here's the average cost of a 20-year term policy for $1 million. If you're 30, it'll cost a woman about $33 a month. That policy you bought, Tiffany, must have been probably like a 30-year policy. I'm guessing.
Yeah, it was a 30-year policy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so 76 for you. If it was only 20 years, $33 a month for a woman, $43 a month for a man.
If you're 40 years old for a 20-year term policy for a man, it's around $63.75 a month. And for a woman, it's $52.65 a month. Again, this is for $1 million 20-year term at the age of 40. I just want to pause right there. At the age of 40, I am 41 years old. I spend $64 looking out my window. Like, we are, just because of online, Instagram, one click, you buy a thing, you didn't even realize you bought it, Amazon. Seriously, we are trying to debunk this myth that insurance is just too expensive. Like, you just can't afford it.
I'll tell you the other couple times I bought insurance, every time I had a kid. With every kid that I had, I went out and just bought $1 million worth of term insurance. And where did I get that number? I was just like, that sounds like a good, nice round number. You know, when I bought my first one, I think I paid $100 a month for $1 million of coverage. And I think I was in my 30s at that point. And by the last one, I bought $3 million in coverage altogether. The last million I bought, maybe it went up to like $140 a month or something like that. But it's important. Like, I needed to make sure that my kids, who were babies at the time, would have enough coverage to make sure that they could have the life that I had in mind for them if I'm not here.
And I just want to quickly throw out the numbers for age 50 and 60, because I do think it matters. And I do think there's some relevance here. If you are 50 years old, the average cost for a 20-year, $1 million term policy for a man is $162 a month at age 50. If you are a woman at age 50, the average cost for a $1 million 20-year term policy is $116. Mm-hmm. 116 at 50 years old. At 60 years old, it jumps substantially because now they're like, you probably going to cash out on this policy. Right? But at 60 years old, for a $1 million 20-year term, as a man, it's $444 a month. And for a woman, it's $315 a month.
You know, we'll say for a lot of our older clients and people in our lives, once you're in your 60s and 70s, like, insurance really ain't the jam anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, you often would be better off just taking that $400 a month and just putting it into an investment account and letting it grow. Because the quotes that we just gave you are on term insurance. Like, this is insurance that's going to run out. And so you'd hate to pay all this money into a policy and then it expires, or you let it expire because the rate was going to be too expensive and now there's no cash. So right. Again, life insurance is one of the ways, not the only way, but I want to go through a couple of other kind of misconceptions about life insurance that also gets people not to buy it. So we talked about people thinking that it's too expensive. Also, people think wrongly that the IRS is going to tax their benefit. That is not true. 1 in 3 Americans think that life insurance is taxable. It is not. If you've got $1 million payout, you are going to get $1 million into your bank account.
Yeah, I wish I would have thought about that before we cashed out on my father's life insurance policy. Honestly, because, you know, when we settled his estate, we had to sell off the real estate. Now there's different taxes around that we have to think about versus the life insurance. You know, and I don't regret what we did, but there's alternative ways to manage that, right? So like I mentioned earlier, we didn't want my father to continue paying insurance premiums. In a lot of households, the kids take over paying the insurance bill, right? So that they still get the insurance benefit, but that expense is no longer on their parents. And because of the tax strategy of not having to pay taxes on that money, you don't want to give up that opportunity.
Yeah.
So then another big myth is what we've already just dispelled. Everybody thinks that life insurance is just too much. It won't fit in our family budget. It must cost thousands and thousands of dollars. We just dispelled that. That is not the case. You can afford it. It is necessary. And honestly, you don't always have to be the one to pay the premium. It just depends on the situation. But maybe your kids are paying the premium at a certain point because, again, they're the ones that are going to benefit and you no longer need that expense. But it's not too expensive. We are telling you that right now. Now, if you are in poor health, that changes, right? If you've had a bout with cancer, if you've had a stroke or something of that nature, it's different. Not going to hold you. So these numbers are really speaking to healthier people. It's different, mm-hmm. but it's still probably not nearly as expensive as you think. And if you've had one of these very serious health scares, you probably are more aware than any time ever that you actually need this insurance.
I want to add one other point on health. Like, if you are a smoker, like these rates could be twice as high.
Curtains.
If you are overweight, like significantly overweight, significantly higher. And a lot of times, the best time to buy this insurance is when you're young and healthy, and make sure that the policy has one of these rights where you can convert it to a permanent policy. But the benefit of getting it while you're young and healthy is that, like, they can't then change their mind about you later on, right? Like, I don't know what my health's going to be in 15 years, but I know what it looks like now, and I'd rather get it locked up now versus later after I've had some sort of illness that's uncurable. There's other types of policies besides term. We focus on term because that's what really most people need.
And it's cheap.
And it's cheap.
And it's easy. Right. And so, yes, there are other types of insurance and we can talk about that. But before, honestly, my view, Alan, and you may not agree with this, even if you get one of the other types of policies, even if you get one of the more complex types of policies, I still think it's useful to just have term because it's cheap. It's easy to get.
Word. Yeah. The way I think about insurance is like when I'm a young parent, like I had my first kid at 28, like I need a lot of insurance. I didn't have any money saved. Well, not enough, right? I had some, but I didn't have a lot of insurance. And so I need a lot for as cheap as possible because I also wasn't making that much money, right? Now, when my son is first born, he's got a big need. He's very, very financially dependent on me. But now that my son is 18, he's in college. Like, my son actually can go to work. Like, he, if God forbid something happened to me now, he'd be in a much stronger position than he would have been at age two. And so as he gets older, as he gets into the workforce, I won't need as much insurance at that point.
Right.
Like, when my son is 30 years old and married, like, his inheritance would be nice, but it's not like he needs millions and millions of coverage. So the beautiful thing about term is that it covers me during that most critical period when my kid is young and the most dependent on me. Eventually, I can maybe let it lapse. And by the way, what I should also be doing is saving and investing.
Correct.
And if I'm doing a good job at that, by the time my insurance lapses or by the time I reduce the amount of insurance I have, now I have a lot more assets. I've got a 401k with some material value. I've got some real estate that I own that has some equity in it. And so later in life, that will be how I create an inheritance, not just through life insurance. But just to talk about the other types of insurance, there's also universal insurance. Universal is sort of like in the middle of term and whole. These next two types of insurance, universal and whole, these are considered permanent policies, meaning like they're not going to end at a specific date and time. And as a result, the cost is a lot higher. Now, universal, the thing I like about it is that it's a little cheaper than whole life. With universal, there is no sort of cash value that's accumulating. It's really just a straight insurance product where you're paying a lot of insurance premium to cover that cost of insurance. But just to give you an idea of the cost, where it would cost for a 40-year-old male $63 a month for $1 million of term life insurance. Universal life for that same person would cost about $546. So literally like almost 10 times the cost.
Very meaningful difference.
To whole life coverage for a 40-year-old for $1 million would be about $1,000 a month. So now you're understanding why we're suggesting term. Like, I can get $1 million of coverage for $63 or for $1,000. And like, if I don't have the $1,000, then I'd be better off just buying the $63 worth of coverage.
And I think that's where this myth perpetuates from, that life insurance is too expensive. You're not talking about term. You're talking about some of these other types of insurance policies that are, for some people, frankly, just too expensive. But we want to make you aware of all of it, because again, this episode is about triumph through tragedy. So stick with us. I'm Tiffany Hawkins.
I'm Alan Boomer.
And we're the Momentum Advisors.
It's the pathway to freedom. It's leading to the North Star.
Thank you so much for listening to the Momentum Advisors Show. This is Sean King, founder and CEO of the North Star. If you want to hear more shows like this, featuring Black and Brown voices on the most important issues of the day, head over right now to thenorthstar.com to discover all the podcasts we have to offer. We have over 500 different episodes from 6 different podcast series, and they're all great. Check them out.
Momentum
Advisor Show. So we are back.
Yes.
Triumph through tragedy. And, you know, again, I know this is probably not like the most uplifting show you guys were expecting in January of 2024, but this is life. And I think one thing that this podcast does is talk you through life. We talk you through all of the things. And so when you're dealing with tragedy, we want you to be triumphant through that and getting things taken care of. And so one of the most obvious things is how to get the funeral paid for. When we see these GoFundMes, when we see, you know, people asking and needing money, taking out loans, it's typically because they can't pay for the funeral. And you want to honor your loved one to at least have a decent funeral.
Yeah.
And I say decent because I don't even think people are trying to have the most lavish, most amazing funerals out there. But when you get into this position and you find out how much a funeral costs, the average funeral is $7,848. This is a study not by your aunties and uncles. The National Funeral Directors Association, they got an association out here. And they're talking about y'all. And
they're
the
organized.
Average funeral is over $7,800.
But Tiffany, you just put on a funeral. I'm sure it did not cost $7,800.
The casket was $6,000.
Lord.
And I'm like, it's going
so
in the ground.
These numbers are off.
It's going in the ground. That was a beautiful casket. But again, it definitely wasn't the most expensive casket in the room, by and large. But yeah, like it was $6,000 for the casket. And then, and they try to make you feel better about it. You get to pick the, you get to pick the lining and the pillow. Mm. Okay. Like, but the, like, but it's not free. Like if you want to put like that, that's not free. The pillow, the thing that they put over the top, like,
you can't put your own pillow from your house in there?
So you can't. It's funny because my nephew was like, nah, I want to put. Now we were like, nah, we're not going to do that. He wanted to put like his own special pillow that commemorated my dad. And we were just kind of like, nah, like you could throw the pillow in at the last moment before we close the casket. But that's not like what he's going to be laying on. But you get taxed for every little thing. We didn't buy a flower. You know, we didn't buy any programs yet. Like, then you've got to, you know, have the actual funeral, and that comes with a variety of different costs. So $7,800, that's, you know, depending on where you live, but our funeral for my dad was significantly more than that.
What would you guess, like ballpark?
If I were to ballpark it, probably like between 11 or 12,000.
Okay.
Yeah.
And some of the stuff, I mean, I was blessed to be at the funeral. I was really honored to be asked to be a pallbearer. That really meant so much to me to do that. But you had like a traditional funeral. You had an open.
We did not do too much, right? Like,
yeah,
it wasn't
open,
like,
casket. Yeah. You had a nice church service. You had a repast and you had an interment. Like, that's a full on nice traditional funeral. And it wasn't 8,000.
And I will tell you this, like, we even got a little bit of a hookup on some of these costs because of, you know, my father was very much well known throughout the community and served a lot of people, you know, in his time of working in schools and being a police officer. So like, even for where we had the repast, you know, that was like someone who said, nah, we loved your dad. Let us have it here. We're not going to, you know, tax you for all these charges just because we love your dad. So we even got some discounts on some things. And so a person may be thinking, like, all right, I ain't going to do a funeral. Y'all can just cremate me because that's got to be about 500. The average funeral with cremation is $7,000.
So it ain't saving that much.
It's not really saving you that much. Right. Yeah. Like, it's not even. And what I found, because someone really, really close to me who passed away a couple of years ago, she got cremated. But what I found is that they still do a viewing of the body at the funeral and then they cremate after. So you have to pay to rent a casket.
Yeah. Now, one thing I'll say about a cremation is like the timing is probably a little easier to manage with a cremation.
Right.
Because when you're doing a traditional open casket, that body can't sit for all the time.
But I guess that's what I'm saying. Like the funerals that I've been to for people who were cremated, they still show the body at the funeral. She was cremated after.
Oh, okay. So then, yeah, never mind then. Yeah.
Right. And so you're not buying a casket, but you're renting a casket and they charge you for that.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think that's that timing piece really makes a difference. So we were going back and we were talking about how do people actually pay for funerals? So life insurance is one of the ways, but one of the challenges we talked about is it could take anywhere from 5 days to 50 or 60 days to get your check. So it may not be the primary way to be able to pay for this. The next thing that people do is have a savings account, and that could be the family member savings, or it could be your savings. And if you're going to do it with a savings account, you got to realize when you're gone, nobody's going to be able to walk down to Bank of America and be like, hey, so such and such died and
exactly.
We need access to this cash.
Exactly. Exactly. So
you've got to do a payable on death or a transfer on death designation on that account to give your loved ones the opportunity to be able to touch that money.
Right. And then you can prepay. So one thing that I will say that my father, and not even my father, our family, so my grandparents paid for the plots. And so they are both buried there. There's room for my dad to be buried there and three more people. Right. Mm-hmm. So we did not have to pay for the plot of land for him to be buried. He's buried with his parents. But you have to pay for them to open it.
Wow. Are you serious?
Yeah. So you have to pay for them to open the plot. Like, they got to dig it up. Somebody's got to go out there and dig it open. And that is a cost.
So hold
on. Again,
hold on. So what was already covered? Because you guys paid $12,000, but you're saying some of it was already covered?
Yeah. So our family had prepaid for the plot. So I don't
how
even
much
know
you think
how much
that was.
Yeah. I have no clue. I have no clue. But it's a couple hundred for them to open it, to go out there and open it and close it. It's two different costs to open it and close
and
it. I guess he's gonna leave them wide
like,
open.
You know what? We just close it ourselves, or we just gonna leave it open. Nah, you gotta pay all that.
Yeah, you know
they
what I mean?
They should just give you one price. Like, if you're going to prepay, just give me all the price.
But you can prepay for your funeral. If you know the funeral home that you want to work with, you can pay in advance. Someone can pay in advance. And so that does help for sure. And again, I'm not saying it should be on your loved ones to pay. If you know it's going to be your expense, maybe you are the one to do it. It may feel morbid. Again, I'm not saying if you're in perfect health, you're like, listen, let's go on and get this funeral paid for. Like, that might not be the conversation you're trying to have, or maybe it is. But if you know someone is sick, don't wait until the day that it happens in order to start paying. If you can pay in advance, if you can get everyone on board in advance, if you can get a budget in advance where you guys know, all right, we've already planned this thing out. We know this is how much it's going to cost. If we start now, can we start paying it so that when he passes, when she passes, we can just grieve and just gracefully go through this period of time. That's the part that we're not talking about. It's not like you're going to be up and excited about doing any of this, right? Mm-hmm. Like, when you lose a loved one, you are down. You are grieving. It is difficult. Mm-hmm. You're not trying to run to the bank. You're not trying to go pick out the casket. Like, these aren't things that you're even going to be in the emotional mood for. So try to make life easier if you can.
Yeah. Other ways that people pay, some people get burial policies. Sometimes these burial policies are literally offered by funeral homes or by specialty insurance companies. I'm not a huge fan of the burial policy because, like, look at this. Like, we're saying that it's only, you know, $10,000 or $12,000 for a funeral. And I say only, like, that's no money. But right. I'm saying, like, if you're paying a premium every month for years, that money, you probably would have put in more than $10,000 or somewhere close to it. We'd rather you save some money in a savings account or an investment account, and maybe just think about general life insurance that will probably work out dollar for dollar to be a little bit cheaper, to just have a 20-year term for $1 million, of which a portion can be used for the funeral, versus paying for specifically a burial policy. Because a lot of times people pay for these burial policies and they end up lapsing, and people just threw away money and never got a chance to take the benefit of the policy. Other things that people do is credit cards, right? Like, if you're deceased, by the way, they can't put it on your credit card.
Facts.
So it's the other family members, right? It's your beneficiaries, really. It's your descendants who are using their credit cards to pay. Other benefits. Sometimes people's employers have a survivor benefit that helps cover funeral expenses.
Nice. I haven't seen one
sometimes.
Of those.
But like you said, maybe if somebody's terminally ill, maybe they're not working there anymore.
Right.
But if somebody died on a job, at least go to the employer and ask. There's also government agencies. So, for example, if the deceased person was getting Social Security, they do give, this is so small, but they give the surviving spouse a $255 payment if the person who died was on Social Security.
They haven't heard about inflation.
What does that cover exactly? Would that cover the put it in the ground fee?
No, it wouldn't. It wouldn't. And my dad was a veteran. And so the veteran is supposed to cover, like, your headstone.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, again, don't get cute. It's not like the headstone that you pick. It's the veteran's headstone. That's that man's name. Ain't going to be no flower on the side or like a dove. It's like, yeah, they cover.
Is it small?
Yeah, it's small. But they cover that. And let me be clear. Let me be clear. You have to go through hell to get them. You know what I mean? Like, they it's a benefit, but, like, you have to have all of his veterans papers. You have to have his discharge papers. Like, you have to prove that he was, you know, honorably discharged. And then they got to look through the system. And then my father passed in the spring of last year. It can take anywhere from 3 to 6 months for the headstone to actually be placed down. Right.
Really?
And so, in all transparency, my father doesn't have a headstone yet because the cemetery advised us that the plot needs to settle first. So you really shouldn't put the headstone on until the plot settles and then, you know, put it on. So again, it's not like you're going to go back in 2 weeks and there's going to be a headstone. I know where my father's buried because I know where our family plot is. Yeah. We are going to put the headstone on early this year because we feel like the land has settled. But it takes 3 to 6 months for them to even put it down there.
It was crazy. My dad is a veteran also, and he wants to be buried at a military facility, mainly because they clean the headstones.
Yeah.
They cut the grass, they maintain it. But I don't know what my dad's papers are. I thought I could just call up, hey, my dad, his social, his date of birth. You got to have discharge papers. Like, they don't got the papers.
You have to have his discharge papers. My father opted to not be buried in a military cemetery. My uncle did, his younger brother did. And that was an easier process. I'm not going to hold you. But he opted to be buried with his parents. And so for that reason, yeah, you got to have all the paperwork, and they are not playing around at all.
Wow. So other ways that people pay, there's victims assistance funds. These are like state and local programs. If you just Google in your state or city, victim compensation, this would be for people who may have died of a homicide. There may be some state funds that are set aside for that. And then finally, crowdfunding. You know, that's how we kind of started the show, talking about the GoFundMe from my homegirl. And, you know, people feel like crowdfunding is so easy. I will tell you this, like, we have a client who went through a shooting, and the shooting ended up having a really big national impact. And there was a GoFundMe that raised a lot of money. And we were involved in advising the family. And the things I learned about GoFundMe, I mean, for one, there are fees baked into GoFundMe.
So very
if you
much
raise $1 million, it ain't like life insurance where you get $1 million. Like, GoFundMe takes out their chunk for sure.
Yeah. And if you've ever given to a GoFundMe, and I do often, they will ask you, hey, do you want to give a little extra to cover the fees on this portion that you gave? Mm-hmm. If not, we're going to take it out of this portion that you gave, right? And usually it's around like 5 or 10%. Now imagine that's 5 or 10% on your $50 or $100 that you gave. Imagine the lump sum, right? Now the full balance and the fees associated with that, it's a meaningful amount.
Absolutely. The next thing I'd say is, like, setting everything up takes time. Like, it can take 3 to 7 days for them to verify your bank account. It could take them 1 to 14 days to process the donations. It can take 2 to 5 business days for them to transfer the money to your bank account. Like, meaning, like, if there's a funeral that you're worried about, like, GoFundMe could literally take like almost 3 weeks, assuming that you raise the money you want. Like, you may not be able to get the money out fast enough to really do the funeral. Not only that, and they don't even publicize this. I know this firsthand, Tiffany, and I know this firsthand because we dealt with a major GoFundMe campaign that raised 7 figures. Would you believe that GoFundMe doesn't allow you to operate like a checking account? Like, if you've raised $1 million and you're like, you know what, can I get $50,000 for the funeral or $50,000 for this or that? They're like, nah, you're going to get the whole thing in one lump sum after the campaign is closed. And so it's not like a piggy bank. So like, when my homegirl passed, like, I was like, yo, I know they got to GoFundMe, but I'd rather just give the money to the family directly because I know they're going to need money right now. Like, they're going to need to buy some food. They're going to need to pay for some hotels. They're going to need to start putting deposits down for funerals. I will tell you, GoFundMe, as great of a platform as it is, and we're not saying it's a bad thing, it cannot be your plan A because of all the different things we just named.
Right. Because to Alan's point, to get your money out, you have to close the campaign. So you can't say, all right, well, we've raised enough to cover this. You know, sometimes you'll see GoFundMes and they have a variety of goals, but they can't put any money towards any of those goals until they completely shut the GoFundMe down, so they close it out. So even if they've raised what they were looking for and people still want to give, they have to decide to either just close it or keep it going, but we can't touch that money. So to Alan's point, it's not a horrible idea. To me, it's not the best, but it's not a good plan. This can't be the plan for, you know, managing someone's funeral or expenses when they pass.
So we talked a lot about tragedy We talked a lot about triumph over tragedy. And the only way to be triumphant really is to have a plan going in. Now, we've done a bunch of shows about making those plans. I want you to go back. If you haven't listened to our Trust Fund Baby episode, if you haven't listened to our DIY estate planning episode, go back and listen to some of those. We also did a show about disability insurance when Damar Hamlin got injured last year. So go back, it's not just life insurance. You also need to have a plan. So you need an estate plan. You need disability insurance. And these are all things that you need to put in place if you're going to have triumph over tragedy.
Yeah. We also did a show about just looking out for your parents. It's a lot of things that they don't know in their older age and things that you can do to help them that will also ultimately help you as well.
If you need help with any of this stuff, whether it be buying life insurance, getting on the right steps towards your financial plan or an estate plan, please hit us up, momentum-advisors.com. We can get you insurance quotes. We can do all of the things. We're not doing this like to help ourselves. Like, I am heartbroken that my homegirl died and had to do a GoFundMe. And I just want to make sure that y'all are going to be straight, that your kids are going to be straight, and that you've got the documents in place to make sure that you've got guardianship put in place to have a plan for who's going to take care of those kids and just the whole thing, so that if God forbid there's a tragedy, your family can have triumph.
Go to momentum-advisors.com, go to the contact page and click schedule a complimentary consultation. Alan, I am sorry for your loss. And loss is just difficult. And I hate this is how you started your year, but I am glad that we're doing this show and I'm glad that we're giving others the opportunity to have some triumph in their tragedy. We'll be back next week. I'm Tiffany Hawkins.
I'm Alan Boomer.
And we're the Momentum Advisors.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.